to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is troubleshooting WebSphere process server integration with LDAP systems for authentication and authorization. Today's presenter is Stefan Wolf. Stefan has worked for more than 4 years in software support for WebSphere process server and business process choreographer. During his tenure, he has seen nearly all kinds of problems occurring in real-life projects. Over the years, he has gained extensive skills in the areas of security and databases. Before joining IBM, Stefan was a system administrator for Linux systems. Stefan holds a PhD in nuclear physics from the Technical University of Darmstadt and has issued several publications on the topic. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Stefan.
Thank you, Joseph, for this kind introduction. And today we will talk about the integration with LDAP systems for WebSphere Process Server. I'm Stefan Falls, and I'm from Business Process Choreographer Level 2 Support. And our agenda for today, we will see on page 2. We will start with a short introduction on the question, what is LDAP? Then we will continue on the LDAP usage and some basic tools. The next section will deal with the configuration of WebSphere Application Server and WebSphere Process Server with LDAP and especially VMM. And in the last section, we will deal with troubleshooting examples from our daily life at the support, and we will conclude with a short summary. On page 3, we will now deal with the question, what is LDAP? And to answer this question, I will give a short description on the question, what is a directory? And the definition is as follows. A directory is a special purpose database used to organize, secure, and manage users' profiles and network resources based on sophisticated browsing and searching capabilities and secure mechanisms to protect the data. And in this context, now the question arises, what is LDAP? And LDAP stands for Lightweight Directory Access Protocol. So actually, it is an interface to interact with such a directory described in the first part. And because LDAP is special for its lightweightness, it is a successor of the earlier introduced DAC protocol, which was an interface to X500, and is more quick than this, and therefore rather widely used. On the next slide, we will see the difference between directories and databases, and the main focus for directories is actually a focus on read operations. And for this reason, this directory is tuned to have a fast response times for read operations in comparison to an ordinary database. This is beneficial, and therefore it is included in a number of applications like mail clients or browsers. And one additional benefit is that the information is stored in one place and it is maintainable by the user itself. For example, a user could change its own phone number. In comparison to this, we have databases which are designed for handling complex transaction handlings with read and write operations, and this in combination, and therefore a directory is more focused on read operations, and there it could provide a very good response times. On the next slide, we will discuss design questions. This is just an example how a directory tree could be built up based on a university design. We have the root at the top for DC equals TU minus Darmstadt, DC equals DE. And there we have subcategories for physics, mathematics, construction. And we have a specific user at the bottom of Meyer. And this is a user in the directory and could be used for authentication. This is a rather simple design for a directory tree. In comparison to this, we will see on page 6 a more complex scenario for a worldwide company, for example. We have one main server, which I call Hamburg server, of companyexample.com. And this company has three branches, one in New York, one in Hamburg, and one in Beijing. And what we could do with LDAP is actually we could do a referral. Means we could put a link in our LDAP directory and state this information will be stored on a different LDAP system. And in this example, this is visualized by the two servers, New York server and Beijing server, which could have an own subtree and are referred from the Hamburg server, so they could be queried and also accessed from the users on the Hamburg server or some other subtree. So we will come now to the next slide, which will deal with one very important feature of LDAP, and this is the schemas. Schemas actually will guarantee that the data which is in the directory is in a consistent state. So a schema will prevent that you could enter any data which is not performing a specific requirement. For example, you could not enter any names in a telephone number field. And these schemas will check this. And as an example, we have here the NIST schema, which is given to show you an example. For example, the attribute type UID number requires that you have an integer match, means it only could be an integer entered for this field. If you now do an update on the LDAP system and this is not an integer, then the update will be rejected, and this is good, so you could be sure that all data in the LDAP system is in a consistent state. Below, we will also see the definition of an object class for an example with a POSIX account. This will define which attributes must be provided. This is given with a must statement, for example, ZN, UID, UID number, group ID number, and home directory. And the object class also may allow that you have some optional values like user password, login, shell, geckos, and description. And this is also something very important because we will later see that in the configuration of the web application server, we will reference object classes, and if we define an object class which is not in the LDAP system, then it will be difficult to find the corresponding entries. And therefore, the schema is actually an important topic here. And one additional remark on schemas, because I've seen this in the past, there are some general schemas provided with the LDAP system, and actually I would recommend to not change the default schemas. If you have some specific requirements for your organization, it is mostly better to define your own schemas, and you could also provide corresponding identification numbers to do this. This will be of benefit because your administrators might change over time and they will be not aware that you have defined your own schemas, and it is very difficult then to figure out what has been changed on the default schemas, and when you see some unforeseen behavior in your system, it is very difficult to track this down to a specific change in the schema. This was all on schemas, and on page 8, we will now have a look at some LDAP browsers. LDAP browsers are some tools where you could query your LDAP system to see the entries in the system. One very useful tool, in my opinion, is the LDAP search tool, which is delivered on nearly all supported operating systems, and there's also a download link for the Windows system. There are a number of graphical tools, for example, Apache Directory Studio, JX Expo, Cetera LDAP Browser, PHP LDAP, and a large number of other tools. The benefit of the LDAP search tool in this context is that it is a text-based tool which has a very low footprint and could be used on nearly all production systems without any issues. And we will later see the benefit to use LDAP search on a specific production system. On the next slide, I will show you some example how the LDAP search can be executed. We will see here LDAP search command executed for the host with minus H10.156/176/225. We have the default port, in this case port 389, and it's also possible to use another port or the default SSL port, which is 636. We do this bind operation with the n equals root. This actually should not be the best practice. This is done here for simplicity because the root user will have complete access to the LDAP system. Therefore, there should be a user used which has a limited access and just could query the entries in the system and do no changes. But this is done here for an example. The minus big W is an important setting, so you could prevent that the password is seen in any output. It will then prompt you for a password which could not be seen, for example, by a PS command on the Unix shell by other users. And what we define here is a base search, and the base is cn equals test users 2 and so on. The result, which we could now see, is the test users 2 is actually a group of unique names. This is the object class definition for the test users 2. And we see that this group has a number of users, myself, example 2, and example 3. In this context, this command is very useful to determine, for example, if a group defined in an application is really a viable in the LDAP system and what users are part of this group. There are different scenarios where there could be problems observed because this resolution is not happening correctly or the users are actually not in the group as expected. But we will go into more details in the later part on this. For comparison, I will show you on page 10 a screenshot of the Apache Directory Studio to also show you a graphical tool. You will see on the left side the directory tree and in the middle some LDAP information. And this tool also allows you to export information from the LDAP system or also modify entries or import information with the a graphical user interface. On the next slide, we will now come to the configuration part, and here we will see that WebSphere application server is actually the base for all the products, for example, WebSphere portal server and WebSphere process server in the context of the security and the user registry. All these products will be built on top of WebSphere application server. There are some additional features which are introduced, but for example, the login behavior and that stuff is coming from WebSphere application server. Therefore, the configuration is nearly the same for WebSphere application server and WebSphere process server. On the next slide, this is about system requirements for WebSphere Process Server version 7. I specifically mention here the version 7 because there is a large change in the requirements for LDAP systems with the federated repository, that is the VMM, is that we now support all LDAP servers which fulfill the LDAP version 3 specification concerning the RFC 2251. This so far was not the case, But actually LDAP is a solid standard and there have been no problems seen in the past, but this is a big change. Earlier, only specific products have been supported. There are some exceptions to this statement, and this is for business space component, and corresponding requirements are listed in the corresponding link below. On page 13, we see a discussion which is sometimes seen if there should be standalone LDAP used or the VMM. What is normally stated, standalone LDAP is a rather simple user registry, and as comparison, the VMM, the Virtual Member Manager, also known as Federated Repositories or BIM, has some additional features, multiple repositories, failover, and it also implements some features which are not available in the standalone LDAP or which will be introduced later in standalone LDAP. Some examples are the BPC substitution or business spaces. So actually my statement here would be the future will rely on VMM because it has much more possibilities. And therefore I would recommend to use the VMM if ever possible. There might be some specific scenarios where standalone LDAP might bring a benefit, but in most cases I think VMM is a good choice. This brings us to the configuration. We will see on page 14. This is a general overview of the integrated solutions console with the global security. We will see the configuration wizards, and at the lower part, and this is marked on page 15, we will see the configuration tab. To configure the federated repositories, you just need to click the configure button. What is done by default is there's already a file-based registry entered with default user admin, for example, and this is a starting point, and from there it's possible to add, for example, your LDAP system to the configuration. And what I normally do is I'm using the Firebase and add an LDAP system to it because this will allow me, if there should be some problem with the LDAP system, to just disable the LDAP and then start a file-based user registry. In this context, you should be aware that there is a feature, I would state, for the federated repository, which is enabled by default, that when one user registry is not available, for example, LDAP system is not available, nobody can log into the system. There is an IFIX provided, and this is included in the latest versions, which allow to change this behavior. But the default is that all user registries must be available. On the next slide, we will see an overview of the federated repositories on the system. This is an example which added two user registries, the Active Directory server and the Tivoli Directory server, in addition to the already mentioned Firebase repository. When we now go to the next slide, we will see the configuration of the Tivoli directory server. We see the primary host name and the port number. We would be able to add some failover server here. This is a feature which is not available with the standalone configuration. On the right side, you will see the bind user and the login properties. And at the lower part, you will see some additional properties which would be good to check. Those are, for example, the LDAP entity types and the group attribute definitions. We will have a look on this on the next slide. Here we could see the LDAP entity type. This is actually the object classes which are used, for example, for the group or the person account. And here it is important that the object classes which are used in your specific LDAP system are entered here as well, because if they are not entered and you have some specific definition, then it might happen that the users could not log in or could not see the human tasks or anything. Therefore, it's important that this configuration is done correctly as it is defined in your LDAP system. The second lower part will deal with the group attribute definition and the group membership attribute. This is actually an attribute which allows you to have better performance when using group work items, for example. This is for the case with the Tivoli directory server. This attribute is named IBM All Groups. This will allow to use a specific feature on your LDAP system which can generate the group membership information more easily than querying the whole directory tree. And this will result in better response times from the LDAP system and also will reduce the load on the LDAP system. I know that this is not always possible. It also depends on the LDAP product which is used and on the security policies which are defined in the company. But if possible, this can be a beneficial setting to be used. In the lower part, you could also define if you do a direct lookup and nested lookup or both of this. And to mention here is that a direct lookup or all lookup is required if you are using nested groups, but I will mention this later. On the next slide, we will now come to the troubleshooting part. And normally the question arises, where to start? We have seen, for example, a problem with our human task assignment. We can't find all users seeing the human task. And one check, for example, is to see if the result of the LDAP server is actually correct. And when we look to our process server on the left side, our query goes through a firewall to the LDAP system, which is host B. And now we want to know, oh, is it really working as expected? And one of my favorite tools for this is shown on page 20. This is the LDAP search command I showed you in the beginning. And with LDAP search, it is possible to connect to your LDAP server and see when you query with the same credentials you entered on the process server, are you really seeing all users you are expecting to see? This is important because actually the query might depend on the IP address of the host where the query is sent from. We have seen scenarios where there are intelligent network proxies which are filtering on the IP address which results are allowed to be sent to the corresponding host. And therefore the user checked with the LDAP search or some other tool from his workstation if the LDAP server responded correctly and he could see all users, but when this command was run on the process server production books, they figured out that not all users were seen, and it turned out that an intelligent proxy setting filtered some of the output of the LDAP system. So therefore it's always, in my opinion, good to run such an LDAP search tool which has a rather low footprint from the system where the problem is seen, because if you then see a problem with the LDAP resolution, then it's actually not a process server configuration issue, but a general infrastructure issue outside of the scope of the process server. On the next slide, therefore, it's very important, in my opinion, to rule out that it's actually a configuration issue on the process server side, or to confirm that everything on infrastructure side is working correctly. And at the bottom, there's also seen the LDAP search command, how you could check, for example, what entries are seen. And if you have a specific problem, you could focus on, for example, a specific group or a user. So the principal syntax for the LDAP search can differ depending on your platform. There are some options which are not viable on some platforms, but in general, the documentation on your LDAP search command will give you advice on this. So on the next slide, there's also a different approach seen, and this actually confirms what I stated in the two slides before, that when you, for example, export the LDAP server data to an LDAP file, you could look at the LDAP file and see some problem scenarios, for example, that the entries are not in the LDAP server, but you will not see that specific network effect. Therefore, I think this is not the best way, but it is a useful way if you, for example, could not install an LDAP search on your production box for security policy reasons. And what should be always considered is that you should check on the passwords. When you do such an export, you will also, in general, depending on the user's permission, export the password information, and then you need to consider that you have some tool to remove the password information, because if you do a problem analysis, the password actually is not of so great interest in general, and if you have 50,000 users, it's very nasty to change all password afterwards. On page 23, there is one important point mentioned. This is capitalization. The LDAP protocol itself is case insensitive. It is possible in principle to enable case sensitive checks on the application server side and also other products. To make this working, all products in the chain need to support this, else it will result in unforeseen results. And one very important point here is be aware that business process choreographer by default is case sensitive for people handling of human tasks, but as this was requested lastly, more frequently, it is possible to make this also case insensitive by corresponding iFixes, which are listed here. It is also included in 6.4 for version 7. This is actually a very important point. If you see, for example, some human tasks not for your users, it might be that the case does not match in the application-defined writing compared to the LDAP system. And then the users will not be able to see as long as the iFix is not applied. This is actually a parameter which needs to be set and would allow to use lower or uppercase naming of the corresponding groups or users. On page 24, this is some other topic, firewalls and network issues. We have seen some cases where firewall products dropped the connection after a specified time and WebSphere process server did not get aware about this and was sending his requests further to the LDAP system, and firewall dropped these requests. And this then resulted in hanging processes on the WebSphere process server side. And as it turned out, when doing some checks, it was working for 1 hour perfectly without any trouble, but after 1 hour it turned out somehow all process instances got hanging, and after some analysis we could see that it actually was the intelligent firewall which closed the connection after an hour. And therefore it's important to be aware of any firewall or intelligent network devices in this configuration, for example between process server and the LDAP system or the database, because this could result in some trouble. This is not only firewall related. Once there also was a problem with an intelligent network switch which had some firmware bug, and this resulted that some package got delivered to the wrong system, which also caused slowdowns on the system and was a rather difficult to track problem. Therefore, if you observe some hanging or such stuff, it's always worth to check the firewall on network device logs if there are any intelligent devices between the systems. On the the next slide, we will see some configuration question. Actually, it's about the people directory provider setup in a cluster. This is VPC specific configuration. The people directory provider is used to assign the users for the human tasks or security roles for VPC. And in this context, frequently there was a problem seen when using clusters, because in clusters you need to define this setting on a node level, which was in most cases not done, and then resulted in a not working system. This is more critical, I think, for the standalone LDAP, because in this you need to define specifically the LDAP system with VMM. This is more easy, in my opinion, because then it comes to the web application server security, and it's more easy to configure. The corresponding link for the info center is given here, and on the next slide, page 26, we will see a screenshot where the setting can be set and that it must be configured on the node level. Below, you will see the different people directory providers which are available. On the next page, we will see some general overview, very simplified, about security. And what we see actually here is we will use the VPC Explorer for login. This will result in Web Application Server security, creating a security token, which will include some user information, for example, the UID and corresponding groups the user is in. The information for this security token content is, in this case, taken from an LDAP server, and the token then will be further used, for example, for the group work items to define, is the user in a specific group, and then this user could see all work items associated to the corresponding groups. A different handling mechanism are the user work items, and user work items are specific, targeted on a specific user, and therefore if you have assigned for a human task group which uses a member of groups, then you will have a work item created for the users, and this is problematic for a corresponding database query, because a corresponding view will have a larger query result than the group work items, and this could have some performance impact. Therefore, it is important to consider in your application design if you use user work items or group work items. For the user work items, there's some additional daemon which is running in the background, normally in the middle of the night when there's a low load on the system. And this people refresh daemon actually will do a refresh on this user information. The user information is actually stored or cached in the database for a corresponding human task on a daily basis, or as configured in the integration solution console. This information could be refreshed for the corresponding task, and therefore this daemon is only interesting for the user work items. Okay, on the next slide, we will see the performance considerations here. As mentioned earlier, the group member staff work will use user work items, which could have an impact on the performance. Therefore, it's good to check for the group staff work if you have large LDAP groups which get assigned to human tasks, and then group staff work might be a better choice concerning performance. This is not always possible. For example, for escalations, you will need an email address if you use the email notification, and in this context, then you need to use user work items, because the group will not be possible to define an explicit email for all the users which are included in this group. Concerning the Coop staff work, you also need to enable Coop work items on the system so the human task manager container is aware about this feature. What always would be true is that you should check if all users really need to be assigned for a specific human task, because if they don't need to be assigned, this could reduce the load on the system and bring some performance benefit, especially if the number of users gets rather large. On the next slide, we will see some benefits for using, as earlier mentioned, this LDAP-specific group membership lookups, for example, EBM all groups for the Tivoli directory server. For some one directory server, there's a construct called NSRole. This is not enabled by default, can be enabled afterwards, and then will have the same behavior as the Tivoli directory server, where this feature is coming out of the box. Similar attribute is also available for Microsoft Active Directory called member of. Other LDAP products might have different group attribute definitions, which could be added as well, but this will depend on your specific system. This is just a short overview to give you some impression what attributes are available. And also, it should be mentioned that the attributes are not required, but they will bring some performance benefit and will also reduce the load on the LDAP system. On slide 30, we will now see the nested groups, and concerning the LDAP SVs, it's possible to group subgroups in an LDAP group, and when you configure this for some human tasks, for example, then it's important to use the direct or the all lookup, because in the nested case, it will happen that the subgroup will not be resolved, and then not all users will be able, for example, to be assigned to a human task. This is a specific setting you should check when using nested groups. On page 31, we will see the object class usage, and as you see here, it will depend, as earlier mentioned, highly what you configure on your WebSphere application server for the object classes. If you use a different object class and the LDAP system has defined a different one, this will prevent, for example, the assignment or the correct assignment of users to a human task, or even prevent a login to the system. And therefore, it's important to check the object classes. And on the next slide, on page 32, we will see a screenshot of the configuration. As mentioned earlier, here you could see the group and the person account, and if you use something different for the object class, like group of names or the in.org person, then you should define this here to allow all the users in the corresponding object classes to also enter the system and participate in the human task. On page 33, this is about some specific limit you could set on an LDAP system. For performance reasons, some system administrators limit the number of search results. This could be seen on WebSphere process server side that, for example, some entries are not listed in the assignment, some users not getting assigned to human tasks, or some exceptions seen that the limit has been exceeded. This normally is a clear indication that the LDAP server has some limit set, and you now need to figure out if, for example, the limit could be raised. This is, for example, for Tivoli done in the slabd conf file, or if you could redefine your queries to use another search space, then it will result in a smaller result set, and this might be also an option. But this actually depends on your specific scenario. The next slide on page 34 will deal with an application is not working on a specific system. This resulted in, as an example, because in some scenario we had the problem that an application which was working fine on one system was deployed on another system and there did not work. And as it turned out, the EAR file which was provided for the non-working system had some placeholder in the application which was changed by the developers before deployment. In this case, it was not changed and had a dummy value inside, and corresponding step assignments did, of course, not work then. This is one scenario which could happen, therefore it's a good practice to export a working application if you use the same user registry as a basis and import it to the non-working system and see if this has the same problem or if it's working with this application, then you know actually that the problem of your EAR file you are using. The other possibility is that the users defined in a group are not the same for the LDAP system used for the failing system. In this scenario, we had two systems, one working, one non-working, and it turned out that the LDAP systems connected to both systems were different. So in the group, only a part of the users had been defined. All other users were not there, and because of this reason, not all users got the tasks they were supposed to. On the next slide, we will deal with PPC Explorer problems. This is for the case that an administrator logs into the PPC Explorer and is also a potential owner. Could happen that he is not able to see the tasks where he is a potential owner. This is working as designed because an administrator is normally not intended to work on normal tasks, and the administrative role checks will have preference over the potential owner role. Same for page 36. This is a scenario where also no entries are seen in the context of query tables, and these have been introduced in WebSphere Process Server version 6.203 and version 7. And when you have a problem with query tables, it's always good to check the database if there are really tasks which could be seen by query tables. One example is given by the following select statement. At the bottom, you could check the database and see if there are really human tasks available. If there are tasks available, then you need to check the filter functionality of the query tables if you have defined a filter which will prevent the display of corresponding human tasks. If there are no tasks in the human task table, then it's obvious that also the query tables could not show these entries because they are simply not there. On page 37, there is a change with WebSphere Process Server 7 I want to mention here, and there will be a tech note shortly published on this. Before version 7, the SCA security role was used to decide if a VPC process instance could be started by a user. This behavior changed a little, and what could be done now and should be done now is actually to define on the receive activity of a process instance there to define a process starter and assign the potential starters, and then these will be allowed or not allowed to start the corresponding activity. If you have an old application from version 6 and do not change this application, then everything should work as before. If you import this earlier application in the WebSphere Integration Developer version 7 and then redeploy the application, this could result that all users are allowed to start corresponding process instances, depending on the definition in the application. And there is a variable which could be defined to generate the old behavior. This is a compat.sta monitoring for BFM RP equals 2 setting. And in addition, you will need FixPack 4 or IFixGR 39063. This is some change you should be aware of. If you don't have the last IFix, FixPack 4 or GR 39063, all users will not be allowed to start the process instance when this parameter compat SCA monitoring for BFM RP equals 2 is set. On page 38, there's performance problems seen after upgrading to WebSphere Process Server version 6.2.03. This is actually attributed to the definition of the work item view in version 6.2 and I think also 6.1 and 6.1.2. And in the work item view, there is a reprived user T table included in this view, and for some reason there are a large number of entries generated and these are not cleaned up. And corresponding IFix, which is listed below, has some prerequisite IFixes, I think 6 or so. And this IFix will introduce a new daemon, and this daemon will clean up the reprived user T table, and this can bring some significant performance benefit, especially when there are performance problems in the context of the work item view queries. On page 39, we will see some changes of the staff resolution templates. And when you change the staff resolution templates, it's necessary to really deploy the application. And one alternative I would like to mention here is versioning. Versioning is a very good feature, especially for production systems. It's rather simple to implement, and it will allow you to change your application without any downtime on your production box. Therefore, I think this mentioned link is very useful to check and perhaps to solve some of your problems during an application change. On page 40, we will see the transformation files. This is just a hint. These are some sample files which are generally included, and if you want to change these for some specific requirements, it's always good to change the default name to your own name, save the file, and modify the changed file name. So if there's some later update, these files will not be overwritten, and you could still follow what was changed earlier to adjust to new requirements. This actually was the last slide with troubleshooting examples. We will come now to page 41 with a short summary. We have seen some introduction to LDAP and corresponding tools. We have seen how to integrate WebSphere Application Server and WebSphere Process Server with the LDAP system. And we have seen some troubleshooting examples. If you have any further questions, I think you could drop me a note. My email is mentioned on the PDF. And on the page 42, there are some references listed, especially the first one will deal with some troubleshooting, which I could not mention here today, but which might be beneficial if you observe some problems in the context of integration of LDAP systems. I want to thank you for your attention, and I will give the word back to Joseph.
Thank you, Stefan, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions. And again, for those of you who join us through the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat.
We have no questions on the phone.
Okay, so it looks like we don't have any questions right now. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.